Well, praise God. Last week we talked about the Father. We've been talking about it's all in His name, and we were talking about the Father last week. This week we're going to be talking about the Son, Jesus Christ, and just how amazing He is. And we're going to be looking at a few of His names and just seeing. Maybe a little bit closer of who Jesus is, like what his names have for us. And the first one we're going to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. New King James says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." All right, that's interesting because that means that we should be praying for all men, mankind. We should be praying for everyone. That means even the people that have hurt us. All men, all mankind. And then he's going further and he's like, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." This is awesome right here because this means that, you know what? It doesn't matter what we think or how we feel with people in authority, president, senators, House of Representatives, governors. It doesn't matter. We should be praying for them, and here's why. Let's go back real quick. Verse 2 says, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." See, when we're praying for people that we don't agree with, when we're praying for people that maybe have hurt us, when we're praying for people that, like it just seems like, man, they don't get it, they don't have it together. When we're praying for those people, this is so awesome because it leads us into godliness. "For this is good." If we want to know things that we can be doing good, this is one of them. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So see, here's one thing that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's a good thing, and not only is it a good thing, it's acceptable to God. Because see, sometimes we go, "Well, gee, I don't know. I don't really know. I'm not for sure if I should be doing that because I don't know if that's really acceptable to God. I don't really know if that's pleasing to God. I don't really know, man. I mean, I think it's good," but we can know. We should be praying for all mankind, including people that are in authority over us that we don't agree with, that we have an issue with. We should be praying for them. Why? Because it's good and it's acceptable to God. This is awesome. And then this is really cool because God desires, who desires all men to be saved. See, there's not a person in this world that God does not want saved. There's not a person on the earth. He said, "All men." He wants, who desires all men, all of mankind to be saved. That's God's desire. See, God can't make us do anything. If He did, He'd make us pray, He'd make us go to church, He'd make us tithe, He'd make us say the right things to people. He doesn't. And the flip side of that, guess what? Sometimes we want to make an excuse. Sometimes we want to say, "Well, gee, the devil, he made me do that. The devil and his demons, they made me do that." They made me have this addiction, or they made me say the wrong thing, or they made me hurt this person. No. Mm-mm. We have a choice. God created an awesome thing called choice. That's why he says in his word, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He gave us a beautiful choice. He doesn't make us do anything. We choose. Just like the devil, he doesn't make us do anything. We choose. We choose every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. This is powerful. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator. So there's a name for Jesus, mediator. Jesus is our mediator. He's our go-to. He's our go-to. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man. There we go. There's another name of Jesus. The man. And it's not lowercase man. It is big case. Capital letters, man. He's the man. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is the man. He's our go-to. When you're down by one and the game's on the line, you want the ball in his hands. We want to be in his hands because he's the mediator between us and God the Father. Wow. What a name. He's the man. So see, he's the example. If we want to live our life and be like, you know what, man, I want to be the best man I can be. I want to be the best woman I can be. We follow Jesus because he's the man. Capital M. Let's go to the next verse. Who gave himself, this is Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. See, whenever Jesus came, when he died, when he did everything that he did and had the victory over death, hell, and the grave, it's so awesome because he gave himself a ransom, not just for a few select people, not just for the called, not just for, well, you know, people that do, you know, at least some good in their life, no. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what that means is he gave himself as a ransom for all, so that way when the time comes for the testimony, when it's needed, it's there. When we're trying to figure out how we can be, you know, the best man or woman that God's created us to be, who do we look for? Who do we look at? Jesus, the man, capital M, Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's our mediator between God the Father and us. Wow. That's powerful. And then it's really cool. Let's take a look at another one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. New King James says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, this is cool. Okay, so he's obviously, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christ followers. People that have chosen God. Because remember, we choose. He's given us a beautiful thing called choice. He desires for all mankind to be saved. That's his desire. We choose. This is so awesome. Verse 20, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." There's another name of Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. This is awesome. "In whom the whole building, being fitted together." See, that cornerstone is that final stone that just, it ends up being the strength, what holds it together. And see, this is so awesome. "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." And see, this is what's really cool. Okay, so he's our chief cornerstone. He's the cornerstone for the church. Like, he's what makes the church strong. And this is so cool, because then it says, "In whom you also," "in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." You see, we're being built as we've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of our life. And we've chosen for him to be the chief cornerstone in our life. This is so cool, because what he's doing is he's building. He's building us in the Spirit. We're being built in the Spirit. This is so awesome. "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We're, as we're living life, as we're going, as we're moving in our Christian walk, this is so awesome. We're being built on the inside. So that way it is a good dwelling place. Get that back up there, please. Good dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So guess what that means? As we're living our Christian life, as we're moving and walking and going forward, guess what? We should be building on the inside. And we should be creating a place that is inviting. Inviting to God. We should be clearing out. Cleaning up on the inside. This is awesome. And this just being another name of Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that puts that solid foundation, that it won't crumble. He's carrying the weight. That's what a cornerstone does. A cornerstone carries the weight. He's it. He's where it's at. He's the man. He's our example. He's the one that we look to when the situations come up in our life. He's the one that we look to. You know, the other night, Tanner and I, my brother-in-law took my father-in-law and my other brother-in-law and Tanner and his nephew, Grant, like, took us fishing. And we were out of Lake the Ozarks on Friday night. Tanner and I, we ran to Walmart and came back to the fishing place or whatever. And we get out of our vehicle and we're heading back to the room. Actually, we're just standing there at the back of the truck and putting in the stuff in the tackle box. And so, like, and this guy walks by, and he had some other people with him. He's like, "Hey, you got any weed?" And, you know, the girls were like, "Oh my gosh, shut up. Just blah, blah. He's choking, blah, blah, blah." And so, you know, I was just like, I just prayed real quick. I was like, "Lord, what should I do?" And it was like, God just told me, he's like, "Chris, just stay quiet. Don't say anything." And so Tanner and I didn't say anything. I said, "Tanner, don't say anything." You say, "Well, why?" I don't know. But what I know is he's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that carries the weight. I don't have to sit there and go, "Well, gee, should I have said something? Should I not have said something? Well, did I?" No. I went to him. I saw him as my cornerstone. I asked him, I said, "Hey, what should I do?" He just said, "Be quiet." So that's what I told Tanner. I'm like, "Tanner, just don't say anything." See, it makes it easy. It makes it really easy to make decisions whenever we're just like, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he makes it light. And some people go, "Man, oh man, that was a perfect opportunity to witness." Sure, could have been. But you know what? I choose to go ahead and obey what the Spirit of God is telling me on the inside. I just chose, you know what? He told me shut up, so I'm shutting up. And I'm telling my son, "Hey, just be quiet." Why? Because that's what he said to do. See, this is so awesome. He's just like, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, man, I'm the chief cornerstone." He's the chief cornerstone. You go to him, like, all the weight, all the burden is on him. And then 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, New King James says this. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That's the reason Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What's he say right here? He said, "Hey, you know what, man? Jesus Christ, the whole reason that he came, what was to die, save sinners." And he's like, I'm the chief of that. I mess up. I make wrong choices sometimes." This is so cool because then, however, for this reason, for that very reason, because I do mess up, I don't have it all together. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering. Long suffering. This is so cool because, you know, I mean, we see it, we hear, you know, that like long suffering, you know, it's another word for patience. And this is so cool that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering, patience. He's patient. As a pattern. Okay, so that means that we're to be an example. We're to follow what Jesus did and what he is. Like, we're to follow that. We're to follow Jesus. This is so cool. And so we're to be a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. We're to be a pattern. Or he is a pattern for us to follow. We're to be that where it's like, okay, yep, Jesus, that's what you did. That's what I'm going to do. Jesus, you were the man. Jesus, what did you do when people did this or they said that to you or they did you wrong here or they did you wrong there? Jesus, how did you handle it? He's the pattern. Now, to the King Eternal. He's the King. Now, to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's to be that pattern that we're to follow after. Are we looking to him as that pattern? Are we looking to him going, okay, well, Jesus, now let's see. All right, you had this happen. You had that happen. You had people saying this about you. You had people doing this to you. Jesus, what did you do? Because Jesus, you're to be my pattern. I'm to follow after you. I'm to follow after your footsteps. Jesus, how did you do it? Because why? Remember, he's the chief cornerstone. He's working on all of us inside. He's working on all of us to have patience. So that means when people do us wrong, we're to be patient. And if we're patient, that means we're forgiving. If we're not patient, if we say, nope, there's no long suffering going on here for this person, no way. Guess what? We're not walking in patience. We're not walking in long suffering, believing that God can do a work in that person's life just like he did in mine. He can be building on the inside, just like how he's building on the inside of me, because his desire is that all men, his desire is all men be saved. How is that possible? I don't know. I can't wrap my little mind around it. But I believe his word, and his word is true. And if Jesus did it, It says greater things. Jesus said, hey, you guys, greater things you will do than what I've done. Wow. And then John chapter 11. John chapter 11, starting verse 17. This is so cool. This is a story, and we're not reading the entire thing about Lazarus, but this is a story of Lazarus, okay? And we're going to pick it up in verse 17. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, talking about Lazarus, okay? Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is Martha. This is the one that's busy. This is the one that's working. Martha. She said, Lord, if you had just been here, like my brother, he wouldn't have died. But even now, this is awesome. This is where Martha says, she's like, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, she knew it. I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Wow. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And then Martha said to him, you know, Martha, again, she's thinking, she's trying to comprehend, you know, she's trying to get it figured out. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she's like, okay, look, now here's what I know. I believe this. I believe that, you know, my brother, yeah, there will be a day that he'll rise again. That's where her thinking brought her. And then Jesus said to her some beautiful names that he is. I am the resurrection. Jesus said, another name of Jesus, resurrection. He is the resurrection. He's the one that will take the dead and resurrect them to life. That's Jesus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. And then he goes, and the life. He who believes in me. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then here he goes again. With Martha, because he sees that Martha's a thinker. Martha, she's got to have it, you know, she's got to have it figured out. This is so cool because he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he goes, do you believe this? And this is awesome. And this is what Martha says. She said to him, yes, Lord. yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She spoke out. She said, yes, I believe. And then we know what happened. Later on in the story, Jesus, he's like, hey, go ahead. He was a man of action. Hey, I know he's been dead for 4 days. I know it's probably, you know, he's probably starting to stink. Go ahead. Get the stone out of the way. I find it really interesting that Jesus asked her, do you believe? He didn't have to, but he did. And this is a question that he's still asking over and over again. Do you believe? Because he desires all men to be saved. That's what the scripture was we looked at. Do we believe that Jesus is everything that his word says that he is? Oh, because there's so many more names of Jesus. We just touched a few. But do we believe? Believing is where it's at. It's not about how much we can do. You simply ask her, hey, do you believe? Father, in Jesus' name.